joined now by old mate comedian Jonathan Falconer. How are we doing this morning?
Pretty good. How about you?
Pretty groovy. I'm pretty groovy. A little bit sick, but that's okay. Do you recently have a shower or anything this morning?
Yeah, I showered this morning.
Nice.
Typically do in the morning.
Nice.
Yeah. I guess my nose, I don't know. My nose feels a little bit stuffy, but not in a way. I was just listening to a podcast today about mindsets and how if you have a positive emotional state, you're actually less likely to develop cold symptoms.
That's like the whole mind-body connection, right?
And meet the qualification for clinical infection. So I never believe that I'm sick. I don't believe I can
get sick. You just delude yourself. You gaslight yourself.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Until one day I'll have like stage 4 cancer.
Walter White up.
Yeah. Then it won't matter, you know, because I'll be gone anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Do people ever ask if you're really into birds because of your last name, Falconer?
Yes, occasionally.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Something that actually
happens. I have a friend in San Diego who's an actual falconer.
Really?
And
that's sick.
I got to hold his falcon.
Or nice.
It was a hawk.
Was it quite... I'm sure you had the, like, glove on, the special glove.
Yeah.
The oven bit.
It's an amazing... It was so cool. It was a red-tailed hawk. Amazing bird.
Red-tailed hawk. Aren't they the real voice of the great eagle? Because the great eagle, squeal, whatever it is, isn't actually the great eagle at all. It's some kind of hawk. I think it might be the red-tailed hawk.
I don't know. It didn't make a noise.
Oh,
but really cool. It's amazing how, like, if you put it on your arm and then you move it around, its head stays in the exact position. Because its eyesight is so good. If its, like, head moves, then... It's like I don't watch cricket, but baseball players, like, they have to keep their head completely still while they're, like, swinging the bat, because if you move your head a tiny bit, it'll, like, alter your vision.
True.
Anyway, this is way more science-y and less funny than I wanted this beginning to be.
That's great. That's absolutely great. We love that. I'm curious, was the bird very heavy at all?
It was pretty heavy, yeah. And he actually weighs the bird to make sure it's eating enough food.
Oh, sick.
And stuff.
Sick. Well, yes, you mentioned that you grew up in San Diego, or that you had a friend in San Diego, but you grew up in San Diego. You moved to Ortepoti 4 years ago. What are the differences in drug habits between the two cities? Because a lot of your comedy revolves around drug use and advocating for drugs and whatnot.
I was just...
Or for safe drug use, I should say.
Yeah. I was just... Well, I've been doing a show called The Science of Getting Too High that kind of talks about, I guess, some of the downsides of drug use, you know? Because we don't hear enough about those, right? It's how drugs can be harmful to us. And drug use rates in America were really wild in the 80s. In 1986, 25% of people aged 23 to 24 had used cocaine in the past 24 months.
Wow.
So 1 in 4 23-year-olds had done cocaine within that year.
Damn.
So I think in general, historically, America has done a lot more drugs than Kiwis have.
Mm-hmm.
New Zealand has kind of managed to avoid the opioid epidemic, which has been really fortunate and good.
Mm.
I think Kiwis use more MDMA than Americans, but I think Americans probably use more of most other drugs on average.
Yeah. So you'd say that's true of San Diego as well?
Yeah, California would use much higher rates of cannabis, probably psychedelics.
Mm-hmm.
But New Zealand, MDMA and psychedelic drug use rates are increasing.
Yeah, they are, especially with the fake MDMA that's going around.
Mm.
That's been here for a year or two.
Yeah, make sure to get your drugs tested, kids. Very important.
Yeah, for sure. What about science or drug-based comedy appeal to you in the first place?
Well, really, I started doing... I guess it's kind of a boring story how I started doing comedy. I was getting my PhD in pharmaceutical chemistry, and I hated public speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I would have to give a lot of scientific talks in front of people. And I'm like, I just have to get over this somehow. And then I went to a stand-up comedy show, and with that, like, kind of American overconfidence, I looked at the guy, and I'm like, he's just up there talking. I could do that.
He's just yapping.
Yeah. I was trying to think about, like, the perfect example of American overconfidence, and I think it might be Joe Biden doing that debate performance and then coming out being like, I still got this. I'm still going to run.
My brain is nothing.
This will work out fine.
I want what he's having, to be honest, you know?
But yeah, so I kind of started doing stand-up to get over that fear of public speaking, and then I ended up liking doing stand-up and really kind of wanted to do that. Or at least as much as science, because it's really fun. And then 9 years in, you know, wasn't going very well, having trouble selling tickets. And then I thought, oh, why don't I combine the science stuff with the comedy? So eventually, the science enabled my comedy to be more financially viable.
So
that's kind of how it happened. I have always been interested in drugs.
Yeah, true. What kind of comedy were you starting off with before you merged your science and your comedy?
Probably like shock humor, kind of. Yeah, not real proud of it.
Yeah, it is what it is. We all have a...
Yeah. You want me to tell one joke that I did from back in the day?
Maybe not. maybe
it's
not.
It's not super bad.
No, all right. We can do it off air. I'm very squeamish with that kind of thing. What can we expect to see from you?
I'll tell that joke tonight, actually.
Okay.
And then I'll ask if anyone listened to this episode, and if they're like dying to hear it, then they can
request it themselves, so that the blame isn't on them.
Yeah. I got a lot more, safe with comedy since I started doing the drug science stuff, because I figured I'm already kind of pushing boundaries with like talking about drugs, so I don't need to be like super edgy with like stand-up material.
Yeah, I think there's a limit to good edge as well. It can become like it can very easily become like the whole all edge, no point.
It's a very common thing for new comedians, especially like straight white male comedians, when they start off like, oh, I'm gonna like say the stuff no one wants to say.
Yeah,
but when you're not a good comedian, you're just like bumming everybody out because you're saying shocking stuff that isn't funny.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, everyone just hates you.
Yeah, pretty much.
So.
Pretty much. I find it very ironic how there's all those new comedians who are like, I'm going to say what you can't say. And then they get a Netflix contract for like $1 billion to do a special where they're saying all the things no one can say.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
It's a bit rancid. What can we expect from you tonight at the comedy night? What's some of the material you're going to bring in?
I'll probably talk a little bit about differences between Kiwi and American culture. Mm-hmm. Maybe some drug stuff. Honestly, I haven't fully like put my set together. Sometimes I like to just like I know my material pretty well, but just go up there and talk to people.
Yeah,
and then it's way more fun to do it that way.
Yeah. Do you do a little crowd work?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Nice. It's hard because like 60% of the time it goes pretty well, 40% of the time it doesn't. And then it's pretty embarrassing when I'm talking to someone and just nothing funny comes out.
Yeah.
And then I just have to say a line like, that's why they call it crowd work and not a crowd vacation.
I think that wraps up the interview, eh? I think the students are a pretty engaging crowd. I'm sure they'll indulge you. Yeah. It's my first time emceeing, so I'm a little bit nervous in my boots, but I've got some stuff prepared, so... Got a fun Kahoot quiz for everyone.
Oh,
should go hard.
That sounds good.
Yeah, people love Kahoots, man.
I ran them for some of the lectures that I do.
Nice. Are you still at the university?
Yeah, I teach
as a
pharmacology.
Oh, teacher.
Yeah.
Cool. So there's students for sensible drug policy. Were you ever involved with that?
No,
here
I wasn't.
On the States? No? I thought that'd be a very natural fit. Eh?
Yeah.
Nah, that's all good. Was there anything else you want to leave to the people who are listening?
I guess the show's going to be good. You know, like 90% of the time, I'm quite funny. So, pretty good odds.
Yeah. Yeah, sick. I'm very much looking forward to it, and it'll be very fun. It's got a range of people. We've got the Sexy Tet, and Tom Alexander, and Gerard Dougherty. Are you familiar with any of those other acts?
Yeah, I know Tom pretty well. I was just up in Christchurch doing a show with him.
Oh, nice.
And,
nice.
Yeah, one of Dunedin's brightest comedy stars.
Yeah, hell yeah. He's a funny dude. But I think that concludes our yarn. It's 10:43 on the Late Breakfast Show. Thank you very much for coming on today.
Sweet, no worries.
No worries at all. If you're interested in coming to the comedy night, all you have to do is go to otagoore.co.nz. There's buy tickets, big buy tickets button there. There's a comedy night selection there, and they are $20 a piece. I recommend you go get a couple. You and your mates have a laugh. Here's Julian.
That was a Radio 191 event podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.